until this weekend, but play in front of what I hear is one amazing venue, and so it'll be a crazy crowd, and it'll be a great test for us.
There's a value of showing up every day. There is a certain stubbornness in all of our lives about what we think is right and how we go about doing it.
This is the land where the old man Mississippi starts to rip and make his run.
They're big up front, physical. So we just we gotta do a good job defensively of containing that. You know he's gonna get his yards, but you just can't get him in big chunks. That's what we're trying to avoid.
Jay Miller trying to stiff arm his way through. He does once. He does twice. He stays on his feet and tiptoes in. Touchdown, Jake Miller.
So get on board. Gather up all of your friends. This is where the blacktop ends in the fun.
Penalty flag thrown. DT has a screen pass, and he's off to the races. DT at midfield, and he is long gone. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. He walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver. And if it stands, that will be Peyton Manning's 7th touchdown pass. He ties an NFL record, and this is against the Ravens.
Up here we need to learn to sing a song for every season. Winter has a reason, otherwise it'd be no spring. When summer comes, we soak it in and play our way through autumn. Raise your glasses if you got them, and let's toast the whole damn thing.
Boom, shakalaka!
The 2-1 pitch swung on and lined down the right field line, a fair ball and into the corner for extra bases. And a bases clearing triple by Reed Kroc. It's 4-0 Railcats. On the run, right side, Williams with the interception. Marcus Williams picks it off at the K-State 29.
Up here we need to learn to sing a song for every season. Winter has a reason, otherwise it'd be no spring. When summer comes, we get wild and free. There ain't a better place to be. So raise your hands and sing with me. We're all going up to the North Country.
Dang, we like Fridays here on 740 The Fan. That's what that's all about right there, Chris Saucon. And I made a boo-boo, didn't I, Tank? After Labor Day,
we go to Rihanna.
We go from North Country to Rihanna.
But we'll let it slide.
I think it still is a good flavor today, because what is it supposed to be, 95 degrees?
Yeah. It'll be great today. Weather for tailgating, just, if you're into that kind of thing.
Well, and judging by the numbers, I think you still are. It's a special Friday today. It's a busy Friday today. Not only does high school football take a lot of center stage tonight across the region, certainly we kick back into week two for some in the college football scene, week one for others. The Dragons in action at Augustana tomorrow, the Cobbers hosting Jamestown College tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and North Dakota State game number two. Ferris State comes to town. Tony Anise and his crew, those Bulldogs coming in to take on a Bison team that I don't know if it's settled down yet. Head coach of North Dakota State, Craig Bowl, is in the studio today. Good to see you, buddy. How you doing, Craig?
Great to see you guys. Always good to be on The Fan. This is the number one station that I enjoy the most right here.
Well, I was going to say, you're saving your last interview for the best station, right?
Without question.
This week?
You guys know whether I'm driving down the road or whatever, I'm an avid listener. And
we like your calls when you're driving in.
Yeah, I know. I surprise you. It's Craig calling in.
He could be like Saul Phillips and calling her an assumed name. Boy, I love that Bison basketball coach. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah.
But Craig is in the studio today, and it's always a treat. I know it's a busy. The week has been probably a little busier than normal after what happened Friday night. Craig, just give us an idea of what post-Friday to today Friday has been like for you personally.
Well, the first thing you got to do is take care of business. You know, I mentioned this earlier, the only thing more dangerous than a team that doesn't think that they can win is a team that doesn't think they can lose. And we've got to make progress from game one to game two. And so to keep our players focused and have them move forward, I think, is imperative. Now, they've done a good job during the course of this week. doing that. Now, along with that, there's no doubt that last week's win changed how we were perceived around the country. I don't think it did a lot regionally. I think a lot of people, our fans, and they're great fans. A lot of them had expected us to win, including our players. But I can tell you the exposure that NDSU garnered around the country is something that I hadn't seen before. And you know what? We needed to capitalize on that. So a lot of different interviews, a lot going on, a lot of people patting people on the back, and in the midst of all that, we need to get ready for a big ball game this Saturday.
Yeah, that's got to be the fear, no matter who you're playing. Is the obvious letdown of you can't be that high. And Justin Gard from KFAN, the city's texted me Saturday. I was on my way to Winnipeg. Goes, hey, I got bowl on coming up. Yeah. I'm thinking, where is Craig not on after this? You must have did so many interviews on a national exposure.
It was great because I think, you know, the two national championships, people understand FCS appreciated that. But there's always a perception out there saying, okay, they've done this at, quote, the minor leagues. Can, in fact, they do that against the big boys? And when we lined up against Kansas State, and for me, knowing all the proud tradition that Kansas State has and all the wins and everything else, going into that stadium, it was a big deal. And as a matter of fact, Grant Olson pulls me aside, you know, during our prep, one of our special team coaches was talking, and Grant goes, hey, coach. He goes, I don't know. He goes, you guys are building these guys up. It's not like we're having to tackle Adrian Peterson. You know, he said, they got good players, so we do too.
Gotta love that levity from one of your leaders.
Well, you know what? You're probably right. And Coach Osborne had called me up and said, geez, Craig, that's Manhattan to win. That's really hard. And I said, you know, the amazing thing is I don't think our players knew how hard it was. They didn't. And that probably proved to be a real, real source of, I guess, calm and consistency with our guys.
And getting back to your seniors, you know, big senior class, I'm hearing they were the ones that kept things going on the sideline. Hey, fellas, we're not out of this one.
You know what? Real crossroads. In the last drive will go down forever. But the real crossroads, we were down 14 points. Brock had thrown a poor ball. Marcus had gotten beat on a double move. There's two of our better players.
Right.
And everybody else that I'd known, even teams that I had coached, gone into Manhattan. Right then, they spit the bit out. The wheels come off. Boom. The crowd's going crazy, and people lose their poise and composure, and Kansas State rolls up. I mean, time and time again, these guys didn't do it. Did not do it. Came back with a great drive. We got a fourth in inches and converted. And, you know, also the guys, Kevin Vodlin, you know, who dropped the pass, came back, caught the touchdown pass. Adam Keller kicked another field goal, and the last drive was storybook.
Yeah, I could see getting up early, shocking a team, but letting that lead slip away and losing. Getting down early, folding the tent, and getting blown out. The fact that you guys got down and came back, that said more about what happened Friday.
That's character.
Night. Yeah.
That's character, and you know, that's grounded through years and years and years of experience and leadership, and we're really gifted this year as far as our talent level, but the leadership that we have in the team chemistry exceeds that, which really makes it enjoyable as a coach.
You know a lot about this team, but what more did you learn about this year's team going in, you know, after game one?
You know what? How they responded, it came out in practice the next week. You know, I think it's unrealistic to think that every day is going to be a Chamber of Commerce day when you're out there on the practice field. You know what? We're off a little bit, but we got right back on the same track. You know, coaches aren't out there having to chew somebody's butt to get them going. Our older players are saying, hey, we got to get this right. You know, we miss this protection. We got to get this right. Or, you know, we miss this coverage. And those are signs of tremendous leadership. And you think it's going to be there. A guy like Billy Turner, okay, is he going to be better his senior year? Are you going to sit on the sidelines and take steps back? He's gotten better. And lot of our guys, he has.
Billy's a man, by the way.
No, Tank, he's flat gotten better.
He's a big
and
boy.
I go, you know what? That says a lot. And so we're going to take games one at a time, but I will not really enjoy this year. These guys are too special.
Craig Boland studio today, 237-3767, if you got time. Got Craig for a handful of minutes today. I think the Today Show, and then you did The View.
I'm pretty sure
Oprah's given you her network already, Craig. 888-458-6926. It is incredible about the demands. I was kind of chuckling how some of the networks still don't know they pluralize bisons, you know, the NDSU bisons. I'm thinking, you people, how much time you got to get?
You know what did change, though? People now know NDSU. You know, and
well, it really was a state win. Kind of, I mean, it was not a regional win
without question. And you know, there was one interview that I did. So I got a call, AM station out of San Francisco. Of course, they're not as big and as well known as your station here. But so I get on, and the guy watched every play. The fact that it was on national TV and knew about Brock and knew everything else. And so I said, okay, you know what? They're a big sports show. They're the flagship station of the 49ers. And they know about NDSU. I think that's good for our region.
I think the fact that you know what else is cool about that San Francisco connection, Trent Baalke's got ties back to, I mean, the limbs stretch way out here. They stretch out.
Well, they talked about Craig Dahl, and I kind of blew the cover off of Trent. They go, he's kind of quiet. We didn't know he's from there. And
we'll take some calls for Craig today, and he does have another game tomorrow. I know that in Craig's defense, he's had to talk about the K-State game, which probably isn't a bad thing because it obviously was a huge win for you, but we'll also look at Ferris State because there is a game tomorrow that as a coach.
That's a big game.
And certainly as players, the last thing you want to do is say, we're just going to step on. Let's go to Terry first on line one. Hey, Terry, you're on with the head coach of the North Dakota State University Bison, Craig Bolt.
Hello.
Hey, Terry.
Mr. Bolt. This is a kind of a silly question, but when's the best time to get a hold of you and a few players for an autograph, like on a mini helmet?
Oh, you know what?
Be careful with that.
You know what? If you want to call and Margie, her number is 231-7816. We try to do the best we can on that, but I do want you to know our guys have gotten flooded with that. We have a fan day at the beginning of the year, and they sign all those things. You bring it up the office, I'll do my best to sign it, but our guys between class schedules and meeting time, sometimes that's a little bit more difficult, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Terry. Interesting question out of the gate. I thought we were going to get an X's and O's.
What about their quarterback this year? You know what? It was neat, Terry, calling in.
Kyle's on, too. Hey, Kyle, thanks for taking the time today. You're on with Coach Bolt.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Coach, congratulations on the win on Friday. That was pretty exciting. But, you know, I've been thinking about this year class. I mean, they've been all over the map as far as their careers here at NDSU so far. You know, if they didn't redshirt during the 2009 season, they were, you know, recruited during that season. And they've seen NDSU at 3-8. They've seen, you know, of course, most of them, if they didn't participate, they were at least on the game against Eastern Washington. And since then, I mean, just what an incredible transformation this team has made. What kind of legacy are they building here? What do you think that class is capable of this season? In addition to, of course, ideally the third national championship.
Well, to keep the ship going in the right direction, and you know, whether it was guys like, you know, this kind of a grouping of these two classes, because some of them like Brock and the other guys who are redshirted were here the year before, and so they've blended in. Guy like Grant Olson from Wayzata High School, you walking in the school, and your football team's 3-8. We don't have a defensive coordinator. We don't have a linebacker coach. He's looking in the eye, and he goes, you know what? I believe in Bison football. That's a special place. That's a special place, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to make a difference. And those are the guys who have set us apart. And that combined with the class with Brock and Marcus and Billy's one of these other guys and Carlton Littlejohn, all the guys throwing their hat in the ring saying, hey, listen, we're going to roll up our sleeves and get this – program on the right track.
It's thanks, Kyle, for the call. I sat with Ryan Smith during
he's another one
media day. Ryan Smith, and I was asking Ryan about the recruiting process, and he said Craig Bull came down to, and he was sitting there talking to me and the family, and he talked to me. He said, I'm gonna make you part of something special. You're gonna help me win championships, da da da. And he goes, you know what? And I believed him, and it's happened. And Ryan Smith, you know, Ryan, he's just such an unassuming kid, and look at the plays that kid can make and has made for him.
Has made it, and on a big stage, here's a not a big lineman from North Dakota. This is a skilled player out there running around with Big 12 talent and making big plays.
How about that?
It's great to see.
50,000 seat stadium right there. Mike from
Before we go to Mike, what does this win do for recruiting? I mean, you got the national championships, but do you show them Brent Musburger and Kirk Herbstreit breaking down the game Saturday night's football game?
Outside of our region, it changes how we're perceived. Now, we're not going to lose track on recruiting guys. You know, whether it's Andrew Grothman from your hometown tank of Hillsborough or you know, right around our neck.
And you haven't lost focus.
No, we won't. We keep on knocking those doors on the in-state kids. But it does change when you start looking at, okay, an outlying area like Nebraska, all right, for a young man in Nebraska, he sees, okay, you beat Minnesota, national championship. Make no mistake, every single one of those guys know about Kansas State. Every one of them know. Every one of them know. And for us to go in and win, that changed how we were perceived. And we need to leverage that.
Which is areas where you've had some success in the last couple of years, right?
Without question.
Mike, let's go to Mike from Oakford. This might be a familiar voice to you.
Yeah, let's hear what this guy's got to say. He's one of these loony guys out there.
I want to stop the 740 The Fan Love Fest here between Craig Bohl and Jack Michael.
Okay, here we go. And you know what? If there's a guy out there can do it in a hurry, Mike McFeely. I'll tell you, Mike McFeely, we bring in Lou Holtz and we will dice Mike McFeely up right now.
Tell him, Lou.
Oh, we just lost the color.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Mike. Jump another bucket of water on this deal.
No. Aside from that, I have a serious question I get a chance to ask on Monday at the press conference.
Okay.
I was in the press box for the Kansas State game, and there's probably about six placards for NFL scouts, Craig.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that they're looking at some of the Kansas State kids, but clearly they're looking at some of your kids as well.
They are.
You know, we know Marcus Williams, I assume Billy Turner are being looked at by the NFL. Who all has a chance to go on and play professional football after this year?
Well, it's always difficult, you know, that line on what guys, you know, I didn't know, you know, Joe Mays got drafted and at one time he wasn't getting a lot of interest or Nick Schulmer and Craig Dahl didn't get invited or didn't get drafted. Those two guys that you mentioned are guys that they're taking a hard look at. You know, I know that Grant Olson's a steady Eddie guy. Sam O'Jury is another guy that's on their board. You know, outside of that, those are probably the top guys that I know they're taking a hard look at. At Billy and a hard look at Marcus.
Does Marcus' stock go up or down on particular plays? It still is the body of work, right? He gets a pick, but he gets beat on a double move. You know what I mean? And Marcus is such a special player. How much is that rated?
It just depends on what type of clubs they're looking at. You know, they look at numbers. Okay, what kind of 40 times a guy have? What kind of skill set does he have? Each club has a different philosophy on their tape, but. Mike, the bottom line is we've got some talented guys, and the challenge for us as a head football coach is staying away from those individual agendas because they all grow up. There's nothing wrong. They all grow up wanting to play in the NFL. Billy's dad played a long time in the NFL. But to say their first responsibility is we got to play for NDSU. And so far the guys have done it. But, Mike, we've got more guys in our offices. Those guys are on everybody's radar, I can tell you that.
The fact that Craig's on with
is
us.
Is KFGO your second favorite radio station?
Right,
or is
yes.
Not right?
Yeah. The fact Craig's on today, Mike.
Thank you.
You can't get him today then, Mike. But we'll hopefully maybe next week.
Well, yeah, I listen to this all the time. Mike comes in, does special appearances, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, every now and then.
Okay.
Co-host sometimes, you know?
Yeah, all right.
KFGO is your second favorite except from 2 to 5 weekdays,
237-3767.
We're going to get him in trouble
888-458-6926. I heard from Craig's lovely wife that Craig is the grill master of the house today. Is that true? You're the grill man? She doesn't touch the...
She doesn't touch that, and she doesn't touch the yard. She does the inside stuff. I do the outside stuff.
John?
Well, Maggie, who sat in with us from Y94, her question was, do you like pizza?
Yeah. We had some hard-hitting questions for you this week.
Boy, that is a tough one.
Yeah.
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni would be your... Okay.
I've seen your schedule in the Dome and on the road, Craig. You do good work inside and outside, I think. That goes. Yeah. John is on line one. Hey, John, welcome aboard. How you doing?
Thank you, Jack. Yeah. Coach.
Yeah.
Is Sean Fredericks on your pregame motivational speaking list?
Well, you know what? We've had Sean come over and talk to our players, and he's certainly a very competent guy. He's a great example of coming in and understanding Bison pride and then how those attributes help you out in the real world. And, you know, there's a lot of players. It's dangerous to select out one guy, but Sean certainly has addressed our players before.
Yeah, I've gotten to know him and Aaron Skyberg pretty good at the YMCA and both class act guys.
Yep.
Sean said he won't get as excited this time if he's back on your list again. So.
Okay, all right.
Good call, John. Thanks for chiming in today. Tony Anise is the head coach of Ferris State.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, Craig, if you had to make a list, what are the dangers? How do you approach this game? Break this thing down for us.
Well, I do know Coach Anise. We recruited a couple of his players a couple of years ago. And you know what? they're from a league that has produced NFL players. And I know NDSU played Ferris State many years ago when we were Division II as well. A lot of new guys on defense, a lot of transfers, and some big-name guys. And so that in itself, you're going to be going against some athleticism over there. Offensively, their quarterback is, you know, he's very talented. Last year, he was a double-threat guy. He's got good size. He can run. He can throw. And we're going to, you know, they present some things schematically that are a challenge. And so those things in itself says you better be ready to go. And, you know, every Saturday, some team's going down. And, you know, what you try to do is each week go out and prepare to make sure that you can play well. That sounds boring, but that theory works and that formula works.
I'm hearing like a cross between Wofford and Georgia Southern.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty accurate.
Something like that, yeah. Kind of an option offense.
Yeah,
like
there's
that.
Option in it, power sweeps, and, you know, some of the new phase stuff that you're seeing, some of the stuff that Northern Illinois and some of the other skills have done, plus some of the old, you know, triple, read the end, midline, Wofford. Yeah, you're probably right on there.
Not maybe a fair question, not to quote Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. Mm-hmm. But if this game is a, quote, winnable game in the first half, if this starts to get to be a bonus scores in there, what's the mentality going in about backups and other guys?
I'm not going to go there.
And you're not going to go there. Of course you're not going to go there. I had to ask the question, though, right?
You can ask it. I don't have to answer.
How many quarters is Brock Jensen going to play? Everyone, then?
I'm not going to talk about that. Let's talk about pizza.
Get DeLuca?
Let's talk about pizza,
get
Jack.
Maggie back in.
God dang it, Jack. You're killing me.
Can we talk about Chase Morlock? Because
yeah, Chase is going to play.
Unbelievable. He'll be on the field tomorrow?
Chase is going to be on the field. I'm releasing that first time right here on the Fan. Chase Morlock is going to be playing. He's going to be starting and playing a lot of special teams. And you know, how much he gets in a running back, I don't know, but I know he's going to be out there on our coverage teams.
Yeah, the Moorhead kid. Talk about what he's done in fall camp.
You know what? He exceeded our expectations right away. We recruited him, said, okay, the guy's a pretty good running back. Typically, we're going to flip him over and play something on offense, but we're going to give him a shot at running back. He wanted to play running back, and he excelled in a scrimmage. And then along with that, sometimes just because the guy's a good running back.
He's a specimen, too.
Yeah, but sometimes those guys aren't good special teams guys. He can make plays in space. And so we really feel good about his skill set. And we're going to play him. Every guy that gives us an opportunity to win right now, we're going to play. The future's right now.
I like to remember when Morlock and Preston Lehman were in there, and Lehman went on now to wrestle for North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. Morlock's two of the best wrestlers in this region in there, and holy cow, that kids just don't come out of high school like that. I mean, man, life is different than when we were, Tank.
Yeah. I'm still not like that.
I will agree with that. I'm looking right over here and saying that's pretty damn accurate. Yeah.
How about a couple linebackers before we get to Dave? Pierre Tucker and DeLuca.
Yeah, both of those guys will – you know, they're playing special teams now. This scheme that is presenting us is complicated as linebackers. It's not just the deal, hey, go tackle the guy with the brown stomach. You know, but they're starters on special teams. I think they've got a really bright future. They will play this year. And we knew that coming in. I look at those guys when we recruited them saying, wow. These guys are something special, and both of them were pretty heavily recruited.
Hey, I was watching Century Volleyball last night. So the question about how long Brock will play, maybe I didn't phrase that right, but a lot of people excited about Carson Wentz in the future, too, out there. I was in the Capital City last night, and people were asking.
You know what? Carson's done really well in practice, and what has happened, those two guys have made each other better. Every day, you know, they're good friends, and they go out and they make each other better. And that's another key to consistency when you have competition within your football team.
A parent asked me that last night. He said, Jack, do you think Carson's pushed Brock? I know Brock's got all these titles and he's doing it. I said, you know what? I bet you if you ask Craig Bold, he'll tell you exactly that case.
Without question. Carson's got a really bright future. Really bright future.
Dave's on one real quick. Hey, Dave, thanks for taking the time today with Coach Bold.
Oh, you bet. Hi, guys. Hi, Coach.
Hey, Dave.
First of all, thanks so much for all the hard work, Coach. Very much appreciated by this fan anyway.
Thank you.
What receiver has improved the most over the offseason, and who's our best deep threat?
Well, I think the guy that's probably had the most significant improvement, and that's, once again, they've all improved. You know, Nate Moody has gone from a guy that was just a possession guy that could probably run 4.9 with the wind behind him. He's from Dickinson. He's dropped his 40 speed down to where he's in the 4.6, and that's hard to do. Ryan Smith, the off-season surgery has really helped him. You saw an extra gear that he's always had, but you know, last year sometimes it got tough. Zach Vraz improved. So it's hard to single those guys. I'd say Nate, though, just because, you know, here's a walk-on guy from Dickinson that, like I said, played and ran 4.9, could catch the ball, run some decent routes. Now he's gotten better.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate that.
Thanks a lot.
The Ferris State Bulldogs in town tomorrow. That's a kickoff at 4 o'clock, Gate City Bank Field at the Fargo Dome. And then you move from there. You shocked it at the FCS wins over the weekend? Not just yours, but the others that fell?
That many. You know, it's a lot. And, you know, I think it's great because we keep on bantering around all these things about playing them. And, you know, I have the privilege to serve on our national board. And Mac Brown is our president, and I know the commissioner Delaney came out and made a
saw
a,
some of those comments. Yeah, he made oh yeah. Done.
Well, that's fine.
I don't know his intent on those. For those that don't grow, Craig, he was trying to liken it to the interest wanes when an FBS right. plays an FCS. And then he said it's like a whatever he used a
junior varsity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I can tell you this: football coaches, learned, established football coaches who have a body of work of years and years and years, I think have the best pulse on our game. And unanimously, they said it is good to play inner Division One games and a Division Two game.
Sure.
It's healthy for college football. It's healthy for players. It's healthy for coaches. I think college football needs to be more inclusive instead of exclusive, and that's the direction that the you know some schools, the Big Ten, was talking about doing. But Mark Rick, who's from Georgia. And the SEC says, we will play FCS schools, period. It's non-negotiable. Mac Brown looked a couple conference commissioners in the eye and said, listen, I got a lot of friends who coach in FCS. Where do we stand on this? We're going to move forward. And so I think it's good. It surprised me that 8 of us won. And I think it's an indication that there's a lot more parity in college football.
You guys asked for some revenue from Fox Sports One. could they have picked a better game?
You know
to
what?
Put on
they're
the
they're
debut
prophetic.
That, I mean,
when they right? when they moved it, when they moved it from because we were getting ready to play Saturday thing, and they said we're going to move it to Friday. I went, wow, okay. And you could start to see the stars align, and they knew what kind of program the Kansas State had last year, but they also had seen what we had done.
So,
and they said, you know what, we can have a home run here. And that night, I think we went up against Texas Tech, against SMU, I think, basically. So you had guys, people from all across the country that were watching. And, you know, I think it's you know, some people said, okay, how's that compare to App State, Michigan? I don't know about that, but not too far off, I can tell you that.
It's a large win.
And is the balance getting better? Because you can split your scholarships up, right?
Right.
Where they 85 right. full rides, right?
Right.
That helped a little bit?
Yeah, your deep snapper in one of those schools has got to have a full ride. You know, we're able to split our scholarships up. So, you know, I think we're a division that does more with less, you know, the things that we need. We don't have, you know, those schools that Mac Brown, University of Texas's budget is $170
million.
$170 million. What do you do with $170 million, Jack? I know at K-Fan you probably have a budget close to that,
right,
but
right.
I can tell you this, in North Dakota State we don't. But you know what really counts, you know? Take a guy who's from a small town in North Dakota, just wants to play football. You know, he doesn't need prime rib dinner every night. You know, he'll eat a hamburger now and then.
It's not like radio guys that need that.
Come up here. We'll get you some national television games. By the way, our system has a playoff, which is kind of neat. We have a tournament of champions kind of thing going on. There's a
because right now, roughly how many guys are full scholarship at NDSU?
You're probably looking 50.
50? Mm-hmm. So you get 13 divided up, and that goes a long way,
doesn't it?
It goes
a long ways, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Tomorrow afternoon is a big one. There's a number of FCS games I know. I'm interested to see South Dakota State.
Oh, big ball game,
I haven't seen Zenner in person yet myself. You guys shut him down pretty good, but how good of a back is he?
Oh, he's an excellent back. He's got a lot of yardage. They do a nice job with their scheme. John Stiglmeyer's been – that's a solid program.
Veteran.
we've had head-to-head battles. That'll be an interesting ball game, and I know that I'll be kind of keeping a watchful eye.
A little barometer, I think, to see some things, see where South Dakota State is this year.
I saw Zenner on the field twice, but I didn't get to see him actually play last year because your defense didn't allow that, coach.
That's got to be the game plan against any SDSU team, I mean, just to stop him. I mean, that's, you know.
You guys did, too. Wow. Yeah.
That was last year. We got this year coming up.
Craig's not talking about that.
You guys
not talking about Delaware
trying
State.
To get the hook right
he's
there.
He's not talking about how long Brock's going to play. He doesn't want to talk about Delaware State. He doesn't want to talk about the fact that Montana State pulled out. You know, that's Ferris State Bulldogs.
Is this a better matchup for you this week than playing Montana State?
Whoever we're playing that week, best match.
Yeah, I knew I'd get that answer. Great.
Then why do you ask?
Why
I got to ask the questions.
Yeah.
It's my job.
Yeah,
head coach in the North Dakota State. Right. Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
We're
see
back
you later,
guys. This is 740 The Fan.
Need tickets to a Bison football game at the Fargo Dome? Then go to 740thefan.com and score with the Herd. Predict the score of the upcoming Bison football game, and you can win two tickets to see the Herd at the